Never a friend like Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Beautiful song. Thank you, Brother Wolf, for sharing those things with us. It's great what you can use for God, isn't it? Those medical things, we don't believe in a social gospel. We believe in the true gospel, but sometimes you can use that kind of thing to be used of God, to be able to show people love, to win them to Christ. And so I'm thankful that all of those people were saved. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13. I want to talk to you in the next few minutes about the assurance to believers. Some things we find in 1 John. Keep in mind that 1 John is written to saved people. It is written to God's people, to born-again people, and that's why he calls them my little children. But he does point out some things that we're going to look at that would help us to know that we are saved. Some signs, if you want to call it that, some evidences that should be evidences to us in our lives that we're born again. Now, I believe that you can know that you're going to heaven. I believe you can know so 100% for sure. You don't have to tiptoe around it, a guess, a hope, or maybe, or all of that kind of thing. I rather doubt if anybody's really had that tremendous experience with a new birth if they don't recognize the possibility, the reality of what the Scripture says. In verse 13, 1 John 5:13, I meet people all the time that say, you just can't know for sure you're going to heaven. Well, what does the Bible say? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you what? Have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, that is a no-so verse. And I don't want to get technical on you, but in the Greek tense, it means I know it now and I keep on knowing it. I have it now and I'm never going to lose it. I always will have it. It's that particular tense that the word is used in that situation. Now, let's look at some of the ifs, though. Some of the ifs. That's a big little word, isn't it? Go to 1 John 1:6 and let's look, first of all, at one of the things, the assurances to believers. And these things should be right in our lives. If they're not, then we may not have been saved. We may have just joined the church. You know, a lot of people just join the church. And some people just join the church and get baptized. But some people really get saved. And when they get saved, there's a change in their lives. And so in verse 6, we see the if of a conflicting testimony. Look at it, verse 6, 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that is, if we're saved and we're saying we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? Very simple. If we say that we are walking in fellowship with him, now Jesus is the light. And if you're going to walk in fellowship with him, it's not going to be in darkness. It's not going to be in a sinful lifestyle. It's not going to be in unholiness. He says if we're saved and we say, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and then we walk in darkness, we're telling a lie. People who say, yeah, I'm saved, but they never come to church. They still live just like they did before they had the experience. They do an easy believism deal, pray the prayer, and somebody says, because you did that, you're saved. Now, I believe that salvation is available, it is simple, it is there, and if people really mean it, and the Spirit of God's dealing with them, and they're drawn, and they make that profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they really mean it in their heart, they're saved right then. That's the way I got saved, that's the way anybody's going to get saved. The problem is, some people don't mean it. And so what is an assurance to us that we really meant it? How do we know we really meant it? It is the if of a consecrated or of a conflicting testimony, rather, that we have to look at. Now, if we say that we have fellowship and we're walking in darkness, the Bible says this, we lie. Now, God's pretty strong. in what he says. We lie. We're lying about it. If we claim to be saved, we keep doing the same thing, walking the same direction, walking in darkness, not in light, which is a symbol of holiness, then something is wrong with what we say we have. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that God says that we're going to be perfect all the time. We'll deal with that in just a little bit. But I'm saying that as a lifestyle, that people should be able to look at my life and your life after we say we are saved and know that we're not still walking in darkness as a lifestyle, as a habit, walking in sin, walking as if nothing ever happened in our lives. Secondly, there is the if of a consecrated walk. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. Who's that? Not you and me, but I have fellowship with him. If I am saved, then I'm going to walk not in darkness, but in the light, and as he is the light, we have fellowship, Jesus and me, God and me, the Holy Spirit and myself, one with another. Then he adds this beautiful statement, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thank God we can know that, and we can walk in fellowship with him. We can walk in holiness. And if we do fail, and we're not doing it as a practice lifestyle, making light of it, and acting as if nothing ever happened, if we do fail, thank God we have the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Remember, this is written to believers, those who have already been born again. So there's the if of a consecrated walk. We should have a consecrated walk before God. One that as people look at your life, they won't have any doubt about it. They won't question it. They'll say, I believe she's a Christian. I believe he's a Christian. And you'll be convinced yourself more so if you're walking in a consecrated life, having sweet, holy fellowship and communion with the Lord. And then there's the if of a consciousness of sin. The if of a consciousness of sin. Look at verse 8. If we say, now who's he speaking to? Saved people, born again believers. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If I'm a born again believer and I'm saved, my little children, he says over and over, and I say I have no sin, the truth is not in us. We all fail God. We don't try to do it. We're not trying to live in darkness. We're not trying to live that lifestyle. We're not making excuses for it. We're not saying, oh, I can just presume on the grace of God and live any old way I want to, live like the devil. I'm saved after all. And Paul says that's the wrong attitude to have in other places. We're not going to do that. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. What he is saying is this, that we should recognize and admit the things that are wrong in our lives. And that's what's wrong with so many believers. They do not want to admit that there is sin, there's something in their life that doesn't belong there. Sin should be, we should be as sensitive to sin if we're saved as you would be to a dentist drilling on a nerve in the dentist seat, in the dentist chair. That'd be pretty sensitive, wouldn't it? Nobody likes dentists, you know. I mean, they have a very, as a matter of fact, they have a very high, honestly, very high suicidal rate because they get depressed because they're always hurting people. And that is the truth. I sat with a number of dentists at a prayer breakfast, and they're the ones who told me that and told me all about it and were saying that that was it. Now, I don't know just how high it is now, but I know that that was part of it. And a lot of them they get into drugs and they get into some of those things they use as dentists. And I'm not putting dentists down per se as a profession, but I'm saying it's a fact that some of them do that. What I'm saying is to get us to look at that realization. Most everybody would say, man, I'm very sensitive to that. a nerve, an exposed nerve. If you've ever broken a tooth off and that nerve was exposed, you know what I'm talking about. And you say, man, you can't even drink cool water, let alone cold water. That's a way a saved person is going to feel about sin. You're not going to say, oh, boy, I sinned, so what? Who cares? It doesn't matter. I'm saved by grace. I can do it again tomorrow. We're not going to have that attitude. If we're really truly born again and saved, then we're going to have a consciousness of our sin, and we're going to admit our sin, and we're going to bring it to God and talk to God about it and do what God says. So that brings us to the next if, and that is the if of the confession of sin in verse 9. Here we are, we're born again believers, the if of a conflicting testimony. We say we're saved, but we're still walking in darkness. Makes no sense. Doesn't add up. We say we're saved, but we're walking in the light and having fellowship with God. That does add up. That makes sense. And Ephesians talks about that in chapter 4, all of that holiness and getting rid of that sin, doing what is right and not doing what is wrong. By the way, both of those things are important. Not only saying I'm not going to do what's wrong, but also doing what God says to do, doing what is right. There's the sin of omission, the sin of commission. You've heard that before, but it's still true. But here's this if of the confession of sin. Look at verse 9 again. If we confess our sins, if we do it. Now, I want you to underscore in your Bible, at least in your mind, the word confess. And look at that word. If we confess our sins. He doesn't say here, if we just say to God, forgive me for what I've done. A lot of us think that's enough. Forgive me for what I've done. That may or may not be confession from your heart. Most likely it isn't. Let's go back and look at what he says. He says, not if we ask him to forgive us. But what does he say? If we what? Confess our sin. Well, what does that mean? Confess your sin doesn't mean just sort of getting the cat off your back and saying, yeah, I did wrong. That's not all there is to it. We can do that over and over and over and over, but it is confessing it. What does that mean? The word is a Greek word, homologios, and that word comes from two words, the word homo, which means alike, and that's where we get our word homosexual, so on and so forth. And it means alike. And then logos means word. And it means to think and say the very same thing God says about that sin. Not just saying flippantly, God, I did it again, I'm sorry. But coming to grips with it, saying, God, it is a sin. I see this practice in my life, this bad habit in my life, this wrong attitude in my life, or whatever it may be that God, the Spirit of God, has touched your heart about, and saying, according to the Word of God and the authority of this book, if it's wrong, it is wrong, and going to God and saying, God, I want to tell you what I did was wrong. I know you have said it is wrong. I agree with you, dear God, because it's your word, and I confess that it is wrong, and I'm going to stop it. I confess it, and I'm going to turn from it. I confess it, and I'm going to stop it. I'm going to do something about it. I look at it, God, like you look at it. And that's the if of the confession of sin. Now, these are some of the things that I believe God tells us would help us to understand whether or not we really have had the genuine experience of salvation. And not only that, to explain to us how we should live, what we should do, and the important thing is that we would confess if there's anything in our lives to the Lord. And those are signs that we really got the real thing, that we are truly born again. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. We'll have an invitation Remember, I'm not saying God says we are always going to be perfect, because he says if we say we have no sin, we're lying about it. But what we need to do is confess it, come to grips with it, deal with it. And dear friend, I want to ask you tonight, are you sure you've been born again? Have you gotten the real thing? I'm not trying to cast doubt on your salvation. I'm just telling you the Word of God says here are some ifs that are very important ifs. And they deal with the matter of salvation, the assurance to believers. And God says, if you're really saved, these things are going to be in place. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. May you help us to be sure that we know that we've received the real thing. That we didn't just go through a form, that we didn't just join a church or get baptized or think that we're going to get there by some good deeds that we do, but that we really came to Christ, we're really born again. Thank you, dear God, tonight that it is not spiritual arrogance, but it is biblical truth for us to be able to say, I know these things have I written unto you, that have believed on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Thank you, God, we can know so. But I pray that we would be convinced in our own hearts that we have these proofs. There's somebody here, God, that is not. I pray they'd be saved. If there's somebody here as a believer who needs to make some things right, needs to pray, whatever it may be, may you help them to do so tonight. May your will be done in Christ's name.